This is Music Respawn. I'm Kate Remington at MAGFest at National Harbor, and I'm talking with Wilbert Roche. And Will, it's just great to have a chance to talk with you in person.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
When we talked earlier, it was about the game that's in progress, A New, A Distant Light, and we didn't have a chance to talk about the music you contributed to Destiny Forsaken, so it's really, really fun to have a chance to talk about that. And so I guess, first off, how did you get to be part of the team that made this incredible soundtrack?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to say that it was like, oh, maybe my reputation preceded me, or you know, maybe my previous credits. But no, it's literally just because I live in Seattle. I mean, elaborating a bit, we have a very strong game audio community in Seattle, and we have a lot of meetups. And eventually I met Sky Lewin and Mike Salvatore at one of the meetups. And we got to talking, and we had nice conversations, and we got along really well. Fast forward to the Destiny 2 launch, they had their launch party. And I forget exactly how the timing worked out, but I know that the Call of Duty was either in progress at the time, or maybe I was finished, but then like I just announced that I'd been working on it or just something. And I talked to Sky a little bit after that. And my guess is that he kind of like downloaded that information, stored it in his memory, and then several months later, he hit me up to work on some Destiny.
Well, it's just amazing. And the thing that really impresses me is how cohesive the soundtrack is. Because even though there were a lot of different composers, besides even Mike and Sky, It all sounds like it came from the same source. So how did that work?
You know, it surprised me too, but I think that there's a couple of techniques that it just they've been doing this for so long that it just kind of worked out. The first is that they have what Sky calls their gravy melodies, where basically, he has a couple of themes for different factions, but also concepts in the game. And whenever he onboards new composers, he tells them, okay, here's this level that you're going to be working on. And here's a couple of themes that, if you want to incorporate these, then that'll be very helpful. And as we're composing and writing and sending in our works in progress, sometimes Sky would say, hey, this is really cool. Why don't you try putting in this theme somewhere, or maybe that one? And, he's sort of like the master of that universe, so he's pretty much always right. And it's like, that did work really well. And we all had our pieces recorded either in Nashville with the Nashville group, the same group that did Call of Duty, or I believe there was an orchestra in Israel maybe who did some of the pieces, and perhaps Germany, I forget exactly. But it sounds cohesive because we got those mixes together, and it's all from the same sound world. I mean, we all mixed our own pieces, but it kind of just works out that way. The other part to it, which I think is why it works on a mechanical level, is that if you were to say, think about Destiny music, what instruments, it's literally everything. I mean, it's got orchestra. I mean, just in one piece alone, the Watchtower piece that I did, it's orchestra, solos, choir, drum kits, rock band, electronics. I mean, like basically everything. And I think that because it's just such a melange just in each individual piece, you kind of just accept it as a listener, and it just kind of comes together, and you don't really question when one composer or the next. And I mean, for me personally, when I studied a little bit of the Destiny 2 and to a tiny extent the Destiny 1 music as well, before starting this project, the thing that kept coming to mind was, we're not really doing anything new. All we're really doing is writing fantasy music in space. So they're knights, knights of the round, whatever, but like in space. And once I kind of put all that together, all the other questions just kind of, domino effect, and they answered themselves.
Thank you.
loved about Watchtower is it starts with that incredible, like, really low chorus.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, it builds, and you've got a really incredible set of drums in there, too. And it's almost like the history of Bungie's music in a microcosm.
Yeah, I mean, the inspiration for that first part was I got to, again, I'm very lucky to live in Seattle, because I got to go to Bungie to check out the level as it was being created. And it was just so gorgeous. And I just thought, okay, I'd really love to have something that just doesn't necessarily, like, get you in the mood, yeah, fighting time or anything like that, but just establishes the beauty of this world that they've created. One of the things that's really interesting about the way Sky and I work together is we've both studied Latin. So this is the first, I'm pretty sure the first and only gig where I had to have, like, correct Latin grammar, pronunciation, syntax, and all that. But it was a lot of fun. And in that piece, if I remember correctly, the text is Ecce Antiquam Domum Maioribus, which is like, behold the ancient land of our forefathers. And that's sort of the vibe that I wanted from that first area and that first part of the music.
And Bungie is just, they've always been so good at layering in lore and making a really, really ancient seeming world, you know, from myth on through all the Halo games and everything. So it must be just really fascinating to be able to do a deep dive like that and use your Latin and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I've used Latin in on Guild Wars as well, and in certain upcoming games that we can talk about at some point as well. But, I think this is the first time where it was like, well, let's really make sure that it's exactly what the game... I really hate doing the whole, like, Dominus Deus Dominus, you know, like, where it's like, all right, this, you just threw some syllables together that happened to be in the Latin language. But I really wanted to make sure, because I know Bungie players, they love to dive into their game world, and they spend thousands of hours playing these games. So I wanted to give them something that, you know, they could really latch onto.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And what were some of the challenges working with a team versus working by yourself for World War II?
We were actually pretty independent. Sky is sort of the epicenter of everything. And, he would always just give wonderful advice about either, like, how to take a piece in, like, direction-wise, or more fundamentally in, like, okay, well, here's the technical challenges and here's some suggestions about how you can overcome them that's worked for us, and so hopefully it'll work for you. But we were pretty independent as far as how we were all writing. I mean, there were, what, like, 9 of us or something like that. And I knew that, you know, I always, or almost always, worked very closely with Brendan Williams, who is another composer on this. But in this case, I mean, we were both completely separate. I don't think I'd even heard any of his music until the recording session. So we all kind of just, on our separate ways, just did our thing. What's really funny is Sky was telling me that, I forget, it was either Watchtower or the other piece, but he said, like, hey, yeah, you're using this melody that's almost identical to something that Rotem had written. And I was like, really? And I'd never even heard that, but apparently, yeah, it's just a weird coincidence.
Well, it must be suddenly when you sort of, like, internalized all these melodies, they kind of come back in a particular way. And
I think it's just this idea of, like, you know, it really is a fantasy, and it's like medieval magic fantasy in space, in the future, or whatever. And I think once each composer kind of makes that realization, then it sort of leads us into a certain direction.
And it's so cool, because I had a chance to talk with Marty O'Donnell about the prequel music, the music of the spheres, and that was always his intent, was to make it sound like it was a fantasy world rather than like a space shooting game.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what gives it so much depth. I mean, I love science fiction, and I love fantasy, but what, in my opinion, makes Destiny so unique is that it really blends the two seamlessly, to the point where, as a gamer playing the game, before I'd even worked on it, I didn't even realize that it just seemed like its own thing until I kind of was like, wait a minute, this is just, this is Skyrim in space. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a great way to describe it, really.
Yeah, maybe not on the box art, but like.
Yeah, right. Well, your cue, Accursed, is just, wow, it's so powerful. And again, you know, you were able to use the Destiny Gravy themes in really interesting ways, and in some cases just like little fragments of the themes, and then you kind of riff off on those. So that must have been a fun cue to work on.
Yeah, the way it works, I unfortunately can't talk too much about how the technical side under the hood, but so I wrote Watchtower first, and that was like the main thing. And then after that, almost as like a B-side to Watchtower, I wrote Accursed. And the direction that Sky gave me was, okay, you have this, and it has all its different intensity levels and moods and whatnot and builds. Try something that's like a dark side version of that.
Wow.
It's more moody and a little bit more, if you want to do more with electronics, however you want to define that. And so what I said was, okay, well, I have this certain melody that comes in during the action part of Watchtower. It's sort of da, 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 da. So I use that as the main part of Accursed. And I once again hired Sebastian Frey, the cellist, who's on Call of Duty and Anew, I think, and a bunch of others. And I forget if he played electric or acoustic, but he was sort of the main sound of this. And yeah, you know, I just said, all right, let's do a little bit more with the electronics. And I think Destiny is the first game where I had started to get into hardware analog synthesis. And so I was like, all right, how can I use this as much as humanly possible, you know, just jam all of these interesting sounds in there. And it kind of went from there.
Thank you.
Well, I love that moment. It's about maybe two-thirds of the way through the queue where there's like a lot of churn, and it just really, it really gets going with all the electronics and stuff. And I think that's what keeps each one of these so interesting, because they start out as one thing, but then they kind of evolve into other stuff. So,
you know, one of, this may be daft, but one of the sort of musical principles that I've adhered to in writing video game music, especially, especially ever since I'd left LucasArts and was trying to develop my own thing outside of Star Wars, is whenever I write a piece of music, I want there to be some moment where it's like, I'm clearly leading to this point. Like, you know, all the middle stuff, it's like, all right, that's great, but like, I'm clearly leading up to this moment somewhere here. Maybe it's like a Bartok-ish kind of thing where, you know, he always has that golden ratio or whatever,
sure,
but
yeah.
It's like, you know, I want to take you from point A to point B, and maybe I'll have little like previews or little hints that it's going to go there, but like, this is the focus. And that's kind of how I keep myself engaged while writing, so it feels like it's always going somewhere, it's always moving forward. What you hear in the soundtrack is a very heavily edited down version of what we actually wrote. I mean, you know, between these two pieces, I think it's almost 30 minutes or something of
wow.
music. But then we just created sort of micro edits of the different segments so that it flows more or less naturally into a much shorter piece. But that's maybe why it seems like it's moving all to these different worlds.
Well, I know when Mike puts the soundtrack together, he wants each track to have like a beginning and a middle and an end. And
Yeah. So
were you able to kind of keep your own voice while you were writing these cues, or did you really feel like you had to sort of tamp that down and just write in the service of, you know, the sound of Destiny?
You know, it's weird. I feel like I've been like unreasonably lucky with some of the projects that I've gotten to work on, especially the last 5 years, I guess. And I've been able to work in so many different like franchises that, you know, everyone knows about. And it's always interesting because you're walking into a new franchise and it's like you're playing in someone else's sandbox, right? And what I've discovered is that different games have different levels of, like, different lengths of leash, I guess we can say. And for Destiny, it wasn't so much that it was a case where they're saying, like, you can't do this, you can't do that. It was more like, okay, write your music, but you might want to incorporate this, you know, this they might like quite a lot. I mean, Sky mentions to me, like, oh, by the way, if you want live drums, we're going to hire a player to do that. And so I was just like, I should probably write for a drum kit. Same with the choir. I didn't realize that we would have a choir until a little bit later. And so I was like, oh, okay, well, maybe I'll do something like that. And that's kind of how I approached that. It never felt restrictive. It never felt like, you can't do this thing that you think is right. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, you're always trying to satisfy three or four things, right? You know, you have to make sure it works for the game, but also it has to be fun for you to write, and it has to keep the directors happy, and it has to be something that gamers are going to enjoy. Which is, you know, by the way, one of the reasons why I come to events like MAGFest is just to keep abreast of, you know, what do people actually like to listen to? And, you know, maybe I can explore that and study that and incorporate that into my own voice, and hopefully we'll come together cohesively.
Yeah, I know. MAGFest is an amazing experience, and just having all the jams that people are doing,
oh, yeah.
it's really great. So
I try to learn something new about music and like explore something in every MAGFest. Like last year, for instance, it was all about interesting wind ensembles. So I just met Michael Gebhardt, aka Bassoonify, who's this like big YouTube bassoon player. A fantastic virtuoso player. I mean, it's unbelievably good. And I just met him, and I was already friends with Anton Corazza, who's a great saxophone player, who's unique in that he, like, listens. And he plays at an appropriate volume for the situation. He's brilliant ear. And so I just said, we got to do something together. So I, you know, just hit up my little Surface tablet and like downloaded some free notation program, wrote out an arrangement for the three of us, flute, alto sax, and bassoon, and just printed it out, and we went up to our hotel room and recorded it. It's on YouTube now, and it's an ensemble that shouldn't work. You know, one flute, one single reed, one double reed, and it does, and it sounds really cool. And it's like, I like to try to find something like that in every MAGFest that, you know, that I take away and maybe can explore later on during the year in my game work or whatever. And it's been very fruitful in that regard.
And it's just such a great illustration of how tight the game music community is.
Oh, yeah.
Not just among the composers, but also the performers and then the fans, too. There's like this circle of just everybody loves it. So.
Yeah, and I mean, as you know, I really almost prefer to work with musicians who are also gamers, who understand game music, who are fans of game music. Part because by now they're all really good. It's unbelievable. And I'm so lucky that I've been able to work with like Doug Perry and Kristen and all that, the whole Lara Croft crew that I keep hiring on pretty much every gig. In addition to that, it's like the diva level is so low that I can hit them up and they're always very excited to work with me, and it's always great to just have collaborators in general. So I feel incredibly lucky that that we have this community to work together.
It's fantastic. And Will, it's been so much fun to talk with you. Thank you so much.
You too. And thanks a bunch again for having me.